Despite all education efforts, youth smoking continues to be a problem that places the health of thousands at risk. Just as one door leading youth to smoking is closed, seems like the smoking industry somehow manages to build another one to open up. My next guest joins us to examine proposed federal legislation, which would close these new doors. She's the New Jersey Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network. Samantha D'Amida, how are you today, Samantha?
Yes. Hi, how are you, Chris? Thank you for having me.
And learn more about what we're going to talk about here, as well as the other work of the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network. Fightcancer.org is their website. You can find out specific information about your state when you click on the drop-down in the upper right-hand corner of the page. And you can, if you're listening on the stream outside of New Jersey, you can find out what the organization is doing where you are. And this is involving, as I said, federal legislation. The bill is H.R. 2339, reversing the Youth Tobacco Epidemic Act of 2019, introduced by New Jersey Democratic Congressperson Frank Pallone. What are the elements that this federal legislation is seeking to approach?
Sure. So there's several components. I'm just going to run down the list, you know, briefly, but student graphic health warnings is one aspect that this proposed legislation is looking to move forward on. So the Food and Drug Administration will have to finalize their rulemaking to implement graphic health warnings for cigarette packages within 12 months. So we think that this is important, not just putting a Surgeon General warning on these products, but also putting pictures of what your lungs will look like if you continue to smoke these products. Another part of the legislation is advertising and sales parity for all deemed tobacco products. So in 2010, the FDA had a final rule on the sale, distribution, and the use of cigarettes and smokeless tobacco that deemed all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes. So this provision basically ensures that manufacturers of newly deemed tobacco products are held to the same advertising and sales standards currently applied to traditional cigarettes. So we want to make sure that e-cigarettes are grouped in the same way that tobacco products are. The next section has a couple different components. So making sure and reducing child and adolescent nicotine addiction is super important. So this is an umbrella topic. We want to make sure that it applies to all tobacco products, as I referenced above, in pursuant to the Tobacco Control Act. So we, as I said, you know, we want to make sure that e-cigarettes, again, are grouped in with other tobacco products. Minimum age restrictions. Here in New Jersey, we are a step ahead. We have already implemented Tobacco 21, where you have to be 21 years of age to purchase tobacco products. Other states are not as progressive. So this would put the requirement on all of the states in the country to raise their minimum age requirements to 21 to purchase tobacco products. The next section is prohibition against remote retail sales. So we're seeing that non-face-to-face sales of tobacco products, including e-cigarettes and e-cigarette accessories, is one way that youth are getting their hands on these products. So we want to be sure that individuals are able to check identification face-to-face and verify age in a effort to combat youth from getting these devices. So one way would be, you know, prohibiting remote retail sales of these products. And the next section, so it's a bit interesting that New York City is working on this, and again, they're very progressive. It's something that we've discussed in New Jersey, but it's something that I'm sure the industry, the tobacco and e-cigarette industry, will have a difficult time with. But I think it's very, very important, maybe the most important part of this legislation. It's prohibiting flavor of tobacco products. So getting rid of all of those fun flavors that you hear about in e-cigarettes, so the bubblegum flavor, the cotton candy flavored, all of those flavors that really lure youth into using them would be banned, including menthol and mint, which we think are, you know, very important to ban as well, as there are certain disparities with use amongst the African-American community and their use with those specific flavors. So we want to make sure that they're not enticing. It's not an enticing product for youth or really anyone.
Sure, and for the industry to claim that they're not marketing toward youths, and to come out with these flavors like bubblegum. I mean, I think back, it's been 100 years since I smoked, but I never went looking for fruit-flavored cigarettes. I just wanted tobacco.
Correct. That's the most, I hear that frequently from youth is, I'm not smoking something with nicotine. I'm just smoking bubblegum-flavored vapor, or, you know, my e-cigarette is cotton candy, or, some other fun-flavored type of product.
And for people, I think the industry too is ignoring and the opponents of this of the bill are ignoring the fact that e-cigarettes were designed to wean tobacco smokers off of tobacco if the patch or the gum wasn't working. And if you make it accessible to youth, especially teens, it's a bridge to tobacco smoking.
Yes. So, I mean, there are individuals that do utilize this product. Or Juul or e-cigarettes correctly. They use it as a transition device from traditional smoking, or if the gum or patch are not working, they use it. It's not meant to be something that has longevity. It's meant to be a device to help you quit. It's not an FDA certified nicotine cessation device. So we want to be sure that we say that. It's not something that's, regulated or necessarily has great success, but there are individuals, I do want to note, that do utilize this in the correct way. However, where it becomes a huge problem is when youth that have never smoked a traditional cigarette before pick this up and begin utilizing it and not realizing the health consequences that go with it.
I'm with Samantha D'Amida, who is the New Jersey Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network, fightcancer.org. is their website for New Jersey, as well as if you click on the drop-down menu in the upper right-hand corner of the website homepage, you can find out the events and the issues specific for your state, if you're listening on the stream, that they are addressing in your location and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at the New Jersey stats, we have, at best estimate, about 3,000 kids under the age of 18 becoming smokers every year. And also an estimate that 143,000 youths under the age of 18 in the Garden State will eventually die prematurely from tobacco use. So it's important to include anything that includes nicotine. I mean, sure, the e-cigarettes don't include the tar and the other toxic chemicals that tobacco cigarettes have, but e-cigarettes, for lack of a better analogy, are pretty close cousins to tobacco cigarettes.
Sure. So, and the nicotine component within the e-cigarettes is troubling because of the delivery method. So, I've spoken to youth that have utilized, say, Juul. They're not understanding that one pod, which is the delivery method of how they set the e-cigarette or vape up, is equal to one pack of cigarettes. So they, maybe go through two pods a day, not realizing that they're smoking the same amount of nicotine as two packs of cigarettes, essentially. Those that utilize different methods, as far as there's many different kinds of vapes and e-cigarettes out there. They have, drops and juice, that it's called, that they put in. They can basically add as much nicotine as they want, and it's not in the same way that a traditional cigarette, where it's listed on there the ingredients. So it's troubling. It's troubling in a lot of ways. And even if they don't contain the nicotine and they're just simply, using the product with these flavors, there's still harm out there. Popcorn lung is one issue that we're finding that youth and their parents aren't aware of. It's just something that they're not realizing the health consequences that go with these e-cigarettes.
And why should this be a concern? Well, because e-cigarette use among young people rose more than 78% last year. Overall youth tobacco product use has risen about 1.3 million kids, from 3.6 million in 2017 to 4.9 million in 2018. So where we see the numbers of smokers decreasing in the older years, unfortunately some of those are, doing it too late for a long, full, healthy lifespan. the youth numbers rising is not the way we want to go, and to ignore the fact of the relation between e-cigarettes and nicotine addiction, and the fact, too, that you can take the e-cigarettes and basically jack them up, which you can't do with regular tobacco cigarettes, obviously. It just adds to the concern. I know that Representative Pallone is hoping for a May hearing on his bill, and he'll try to move the bill, which he believes has bipartisan support, and which I've seen other people, you know, from the other side of the aisle jumping on board with this for the obvious reason that it is going to be a health benefit for the next generation and put under control an element of an industry which could get easily out of control and put a lot of people under unnecessary health risks. Again, it's H.R. 2339, Reversing the Youth Tobacco Epidemic Act. You can go over to House.gov and look it up and read it there. We'll put a direct link to the bill as well over on our website, issuesandideasradio.com. But it's one of those things where to get ahead of the trend is a certainly important idea. And when it involves the health of our youth, just the importance just becomes more and more magnified. So hopefully this will come to pass and the elements of the bill will come into play and be the benefit that it's designed to be. We've been joined by the New Jersey Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network, Samantha DeAlmeida. Their website, fightcancer.org. Samantha, thanks so much for giving us a heads up on this issue and helping people understand where they're separating two elements. They really need to be joined together to fully understand the health risks, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks for highlighting this important issue.